Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Doug, Steve, and Raffi all sent me a story about a guy who was finally reunited with his stolen car. And the great part of the story is he found it himself. This is a guy whose car was stolen 17 years ago, and he's always kept his eyes peeled looking for it. And one day he found it. He actually recovered his own stolen car. It's a great story. James Barron wrote the story for the Freelance Star out of Virginia. Spotsylvania man recovers beloved 69 Camaro stolen 17 years ago. Tommy Cook never lost hope he'd one day recover his beloved 1969 orange Camaro that went missing 17 years ago. And the car was Hugger Orange. Hugger Orange. And I mentioned a while back that I'm not crazy about orange on cars. Generally speaking, there are some exceptions. The Superbird had a great orange, and so did the Camaro. I'll admit that the orange on the Camaro, the Hugger Orange, is good. The name? But the color's good. Cook said, "I never wrote that car off. The man's a true believer. I knew there'd be a day and a time when I'd get that car back. I didn't know where, but I knew it was out there somewhere." This is like a romance movie. "Someday we'll be together. I'll find you." Cook and his vintage sports car were finally reunited in Spotsylvania County this week when the vehicle arrived at his auto repair shop after being found in an auto shop in Maryland. The last time Cook had possession of the car was in 2003 when the car was stolen from his shop in Woodbridge, but the car did not have an engine in it at the time. So stealing it was a little more difficult, but someone stole it and it disappeared and was gone for 17 years. He reported the car stolen immediately, but later on he moved. So as time went on, he started to think that his car would not remain on the radar of law enforcement, so he kept on them about it. Apparently, you can go through and update the status on a car that's been stolen, and he kept informing law enforcement, "Look, it's still not it hasn't been recovered yet. So at one point in time, he contacted Prince William County Police about this, and he was told that the agency no longer would send renewal notices due to a software upgrade in the agency's theft reporting system. That is, they would not send you the note saying, "Hey, look, if you want us to keep looking for your car, you got to update the information." So he would then work with them. One of Cook's friends, who's on the lookout for an old Camaro, asked Cook to respond to a Maryland man's social media advertisement for a blue Camaro near La Plata. When Cook arrived at the shop to look over the prospective purchase, he noticed a hoodless 69 Camaro sitting in the corner of the garage. The seller told Cook that the one in the corner was originally Hugger Orange, the same color as his missing car. And Cook, the man whose car was stolen, says it was kind of a hokey green they'd painted it. I thought to myself, maybe someone's trying to hide a stolen car. The seller also told Cook that the green car was built in California. And Cook knew that all first-generation Camaros are either built in Ohio or California at what Cook and collectors call the Los Angeles plant, would be in Van Nuys. Cook's missing Camaro was a California car that he transported on a flatbed from Arizona to the East Coast in 2001. Now, he said, "I looked inside on the dash at the VIN, and it had an N code, which meant the car was built in Ohio. Of course, you can't have the N code of the car was built in California. Something seemed wrong about this car." And the man knows his cars, especially his Camaros. So he sensed something wasn't quite right. So this is him talking now. He says, "So now we've got an orange car, a California car, but a car with a hinky VIN number on it. I was beginning to think this is looking a lot like my car. Now, although the car didn't have a motor and it was stolen, someone had installed a 350 in it. The vehicle is also missing the nose panel, the hood, the cowl screen, and its seats." Now, Cook peered inside and noticed factory-installed brackets to accommodate a fold-down rear seat. Apparently, that was an option, but an extremely unusual one that year. So he says, "By now, I'm pretty much thinking this is my car. I've looked at a lot of 69s in the last 17 years. So he went to the vehicle's engine compartment to see the other VIN. And a lot of people know this. A vehicle identification number can be number one on the tag that you can see through the glass and you look down through the windshield. Modern cars are all over the car. But back in these days, the VIN would be stamped a couple different places. And I know this because I've worked on a case before involving a stolen Camaro." I know way too much about this. Cook compared that Camaro's VIN to his stolen vehicle report and discovered that the car in La Plata was, in fact, his car that had gone missing 17 years earlier. Now, here he had an issue, though, because he wanted to purchase the advertised Camaro that he went to see, but didn't want to jeopardize the chance to recover his long-lost Camaro. So he contacted the Maryland Charles County Sheriff's Office and was immediately put in touch with a detective. And the detective was amazed I would still be looking for the car after 17 years. He said, "We'll go get the car right now. Give me an hour." So Cook said, "Hey, look, can you hang on for a split second? Let me go get the other car I'm going to buy, and then you guys can go in and snag the stolen car for me," because he still wanted to buy the car. Cook and his friend arrived to load and take away the blue Camaro they bought. After the purchase, Cook contacted a detective who went and recovered his stolen Camaro. The vehicle was towed to a storage lot to hold until Cook had it delivered to his Spotsylvania business. "The seller was cooperative, and there were no problems," said Cook. "He's an innocent victim. He bought the car from somebody. He didn't mean anybody any ill will." Cook later learned that his Camaro had changed hands at least 4 times in the last 17 years. Some people had put money into it. "It was better than it was when it was stolen, but it's still an ugly green." Cook operates a Corvette repair shop. He calls the 1969 Camaro iconic. While the model year isn't mechanically much different than other years in that run, new sheet metal gave the 69 a more aggressive and desirable look. He says they're right up there in line with a 55 Chevy or a 32 Ford. And now he's clearing out an appropriate area in his garage to accommodate the new arrival. "I'm going to put it in the shop, cover it up, and see what transpires. I assume he's got the abilities. He might clean it up and put it back on the road himself. But he's been reunited with a car that he actually tracked down himself by just detective work, just keeping his eyes peeled. Hey, let's go take a look at that car." And part of the story, I forgot if it was in this version or another version. This version here is from the Freelance Star. I read a couple different versions of the story. That there was a VIN tag on the dashboard, the one by the windshield, base of the windshield. That VIN tag was incorrect. So what had happened is somebody had stolen his car. And then they went and got a VIN from another Camaro. And the easiest way to do that is you go to a junkyard. And I'm not telling you to do this. I'm saying this is what they did. Somebody went to a junkyard and found a wrecked Camaro of the same year, pulled the VIN off of it, and probably got the title to wrecked one or something, I don't know, and pulled the VIN off of it, stuck it on there, because they know that no one's going to report the one in the junkyard stolen, hopefully, and put that on there. But the problem, of course, is that there's a VIN there, and there's a VIN stamped, and it's kind of hard to describe, but it's on the firewall on the engine side, but it's underneath some of the stuff that has to do with the plumbing for the heating system, the heater and the defrosters and so on. And there is another VIN stamped there. There's also a VIN stamped someplace underneath the front left fender. And those can be found, but they're kind of difficult to get to. We can debate this all day long about why they're where they are. But the point is that as the car is coming down the assembly line, long before it's assembled, tag gets affixed to the dashboard, and then something gets stamped on that firewall section, something gets stamped on one of the fenders. And then as it gets built up, those things get harder to find, but they're there. And so I can tell you that I worked on a case before where a client's car got stolen, and it was recovered later, and somebody cloned the VIN. And by that, I mean they'd put a different VIN underneath the windshield. So if that's all they checked, they go, "Oh, this is not a stolen car." But if somebody does their homework and checks one of the other two VIN spots, they're going to realize, "Oh, this car's real VIN is here," because it's harder to replace those or fake those. It probably could be done, but it's harder to do. And I guess in this case, somebody had actually smeared something over one of these VINs in an attempt to hide it, probably Bondo or something. But again, they did, in fact, positively identify this car as the one that was stolen 17 years ago. And the amazing part of the story is the man found it himself. Keep your eyes peeled, and someday the car will return to you. If it loves you, it will return to you. And it did. It's a great story. So James Barron wrote it for the Freelance Star. Raffy, Doug, and Steve sent it to me. Thanks a lot, guys. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. "But I don't want to go outside. There's people out there."